Good evening. Thank you guys for braving the rain tonight. So Stephanie said she would have built an ark, but God has not called her to do it. And so I told her a good call there. Anyway, we're so glad that every one of you is here tonight, and we have such a special treat. We're going to get to hear from Laura Smith again tonight. She is one of us, so a lot of you have been in her group before. Laura is a very experienced high school teacher, so that may kind of come through when you hear her tonight. But she's going to teach us about a very encouraging, unusual passage tonight. So let me pray, and she can get started. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you even for this part of your word. Lord, I feel like we are climbing out of a dark hole as David is going to step back onto the throne that you chose for him. Lord, I pray for Laura as she teaches tonight that we would hear your truth through the words that you've given her. And Lord, you know where each one of us is. You know what is in each one of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would use her words through your word to speak directly into those places that we need to hear, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it changes the direction of our lives. It is living and active and powerful. And I pray all that in the powerful name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Ann. How are we doing tonight, ladies? Okay, let's try that again. How are we doing tonight, ladies? Okay, that is much better. Well, like Ann said, my name is Laura Smith, and I'm glad to be back up here with you. So thanks for having me back. Before we start, I'd like to review from the last couple of weeks. So I know we have a lot of new folks that have joined us. So just to be sure we are all on the same page. David was king, and his son Absalom decided to rebel against him. So he took most of Israel with him by force, trying to become king on his own. So David and his men fled, and then while in battle with Absalom's troops, David told his people, hey, be gentle with Absalom. Don't kill him, pretty much, is what he said. But Joab, who was David's army commander at the time, decided to take matters into his own hands and killed Absalom, so killing David's son, clearly going against what David had commanded. As David was grieving the news from Absalom's death, Joab spurred David on to get back out and encourage the men so that they would still be on his side. So that's where we pick up this week. The last several weeks, as I have dug into this passage, I've kind of gone through several renditions of the talk, but there were ideas that stood out to me over and over again, and those ideas are pride and humility, two things that are really hard for me sometimes. So those just jumped off the page. So tonight might kind of seem like a tennis match as we go back and forth between pride and humility, but track with me. I was able to see how several characters all throughout, some had pride, some had humility. So I could identify with both of them because I struggle with pride and sometimes have humility. So there we go. So we'll start off with a little comic tonight that says, I can't do this. I have a learning dishumility. Do you mean a learning disability? No, dishumility. I'm pretty sure I already know all this stuff. So we're going to start off tonight with pride, looking at Israelites and the Judahites. So there was some tension between Israel in the north and Judah in the south. So Israel were 10 tribes that comprised up the northern kingdom, and Judah was 2 tribes which comprised the southern kingdom. So before we do that, sorry, we'll start with pride and humility. So the left column is pride, the right column is humility. So as you look up there, we'll see pride in the Israelites, in the Judahites, in Sheba, and in Joab. And then we'll see humility in Shimei, Mephibosheth, we'll call him Mephi, Barzillai, Joab, a wise woman, the city of Abel-Beth-Maacah, and in David. So before we even jump into pride, let's define what pride and humility are. So for pride, dictionary.com defines pride as a feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. My definition would be misplaced or misdirected trust. And tonight we will call that bowing up. Humility. Dictionary.com defines humility as reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission. But my definition would be having a right view of myself in relation to the Lord. So my name is Laura, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from pride, perfectionism, and control. All right, now we'll jump into pride. I was ahead of myself a minute ago. So between the Israelites and the Judahites. So pride leads to a continuous source of division, which we will see from here on out between the Israelites and the Judahites. So a quick summary of this section. Absalom had just been killed in battle. David was grieving and is now ready to come back and claim his rightful place as king. The Israelites wanted David back because they realized that their plan in making Absalom king didn't work out as they had planned. But David had to ask his own people in Judah, hey, bring me back. So he's begging them to come make him king. He didn't want to become king by force. He wanted to do it to bring a sense of unity to both. So we will revisit this section here in a little bit when we see pride bowing up between both people again. But both the Israelites and the Judahites misplaced their trust, putting it in themselves rather than in the Lord. So how often do we go back to the Lord once we realize that our plans didn't work out either, like the Israelites did after Absalom? Could it be chasing that dream job that you thought maybe was right, but you knew it wasn't? Or after that relationship you wanted that didn't work out? So will you bow up with pride like the Israelites and Judahites did? Or will you bow down with humility like they should have? So now let's move on. We're going to transfer a little bit to humility. We're going to look at Shimei. So a quick recap. A few chapters ago, Shimei was the one that cursed David. So as David was going out, as he was fleeing from Absalom when he tried to become king, Shimei cursed him and said, just terrible things to him. And David's men, his army men, really wanted to protect him and offered to take his life. And David said, no, I want to learn what the Lord has me to learn. Now, as David is coming back, Shimei is the first person to come back with him and bringing over 1,000 Benjamites. So the people that were on the other side are now on his side. He came back. He confessed his words. He confessed his actions that he knew were not right. He honored David and was honest. And then he accompanied David on his way to Jerusalem. So Shimei was related to Saul, which was probably a little bit, maybe a lot, of what had to do with him cursing David in the first place. 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So the Lord had obviously been working in Shimei's heart. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So in repentance, we saw that Shimei was humble, he honored David, he was honest, and then he took action to show that his heart really had been changed, and he did that by following and accompanying David. So a repentant heart should be evident to all that can see or hear you. So Shimei bowed down before David in humility. He had a right view of himself and the Lord. Now, forgiveness from David did not condone Shimei's actions, but it did allow them to have a restored relationship. So personal example here. My first response is usually pride. So we'll get that out there. And I have to wrestle to get to humility often. So changing my history of growing up where I felt like I needed to put off the perception of perfection to now becoming vulnerable that I am not perfect has been challenging, but it's totally worth it. Although it was never verbalized in my house, I grew up believing that I had to have the facade of having everything together, being perfect, and being right about everything, which eventually made me super weary and exhausted. It's hard to keep up a lifestyle of false perfection, even when I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. When I figured out that I could not be perfect, that's when it translated to feeling like at least I should look like I'm perfect and have it all together. Nobody else struggles with that, though, I'm sure, in this room. But allowing the Lord to change my heart from perfectionist pride to recovering from perfection humility has led to resolved conflict, being able to admit that I'm wrong and ask for forgiveness from Matthew 18, and restored relationships, freedom from the weight of works, and receiving forgiveness. Another example here, when I was in high school, I was a super judgmental, perfectionist, and prideful girl. So for people who have not been around me much since high school, that's probably and sadly how they would remember me. I remember trying to do my best at being the best at everything. I was at church, serving every time that the door was open. I did multiple times the amount of required community service hours for high school graduation, and I sought to be nominated or voted for Miss fill in the blank for everything that we had on our campus, pretty much trying to achieve the holier-than-thou status. But I was quick to look down or comment on students maybe who did those things, you know, those other students that did the things I would never do because I was too good for that. Pretty much a goody two-shoes. Or I didn't want to get caught. So I am so thankful for the truth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says that whoever is in Christ is in a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new has come. So the Lord has changed me and made me into someone who is usually more understanding, patient, and okay with admitting that I'm wrong. So since high school, I haven't been able to spend a lot of quality time with my brother and sister-in-law. So their view of me is probably pretty much the same as it was back then. But when I'm around them now, I pray and I hope that they can hear more kind and encouraging words and see different attitudes and actions in my life. So while the Lord has changed me and made me new in Him, I still experience the consequences of my sin in my life. I can't control those relationships, but I can seek forgiveness and restoration. So what areas in your life do you need to allow the Lord to convict you so that you can seek restoration? Maybe a friend who hurt you recently, or the friend who is hurting because of something that you said, the relative you haven't spoken to in months or years, or seeking forgiveness from that one person who shall not be named right now. And can those around you tell that your heart is repentant? Can those closest to you tell that your heart has truly been changed? Would people who knew you back then say that they can see a change in your life now? What about that high school or college reunion that you have coming up? Would those former classmates describe your life now? How would they describe your life now compared to when you were in high school or in college? So will you bow up with pride, like Shimei did a while back, or will you bow down with humility, like Shimei did now? Let's continue on with humility and talk about Mephibosheth. Again, we will call him Mephi, because Mephibosheth is a really hard word to say 48 times really quickly. So let's recap. So earlier, when David was leaving into exile, Mephi's servant Ziba, came with donkeys that were loaded up with all the food and the wine and the things that David and his men were going to need for their journey. David thanked him and gave him all of the land that he had originally given to Mephi. Now, Mephi was Saul's grandson. So here in this passage, we see that David asks Mephi, "Hey, why didn't you come with me?" And Mephi says, "Well, I'm lame. I can't walk. And my servant Ziba duped me. Like, he came to you with all of those things, and I was supposed to go with him." But here, now we see that David decided to split the land between Ziba and Mephi. And Mephi just said, "Hey, Ziba can have it all. I'm thankful that you are back as the rightful king." Says a lot about his character right there. So we get to see a restored relationship that came from seeking understanding. Assuming the best in others and giving them an opportunity to speak rather than assuming that I already know what they're going to say or how they're going to respond. This can be hard for me at times because I'm pretty sure that I'm always right. So it makes sense in my head that I know how they're going to respond. So Mephi bowed down, giving up his pride to allow Ziba to take all of the land. David was willing to listen and make things right. And in 1 Kings 3, verses 24 and 25, we see that David's son Solomon followed a very similar strategy in problem solving when two people were arguing over something, over the same item. In that case, it was a baby, two ladies fighting over a baby. So an example here, like Anne said earlier, I'm a high school teacher. So I often feel like I have to have the ultimate say or make the final decision. But I've learned that from seeking understanding from my students often has a very different reaction than just coming out against them and taking a firm stand. Few teachers ask the student's side, and even fewer teachers ask for forgiveness when we make a bad assumption or a bad decision. But I have had multiple opportunities to do this, especially recently. And if you're a teacher and you know spring semester, those come up a lot. But whenever I get to have those conversations with students, it often leads to conversations about faith and getting to share the gospel with these girls and boys. So last week, I had a student that just busted out in the middle of class a very loud curse word, and I said, go to the hall, I will talk to you when I feel like it. Because I knew that for my heart, I needed 2 or 3 minutes to figure out what I was going to say in a gentle and kind way. Otherwise, I would have been that person kind of lashing out and coming right out. And so waited a few minutes. When I walked out there, I just was ready to ask some questions. And she had tears streaming down her face. And I said, what is going on? And that was my only question. So instead of coming out and accusing her or getting onto her for why she felt the need to use that language in my class, I got to sit down with her, hearing about her family. Parents are not great parents right now. There's a lot of really hard stuff going on at home. There's separation, possible divorce. She's taking care of her 3 younger siblings. She's in 3 AP classes. All of those things, and that was just her one quick outlet. So by me allowing a minute to let the Lord kind of change my heart for a second, she was able to hear the gospel and be encouraged with scripture with that. So I'm thankful that the Lord put a rein on my mouth, because otherwise we would have had a different outcome. So do you seek to understand or to be understood and be right? In that conflict you had last night or yesterday at work, how did you handle it? Do you respond differently to your spouse or your kids than you do to your boss or your friends? Who gets the last word in your discussions? And how do you handle it when you don't see eye to eye with someone that you're close with? Will you bow up like Ziba did, or will you bow down like Mephi did? Okay, we're going to continue on in humility. It's going to feel like a tennis match going between humility and pride, so stick with me. But we're going to continue on the humility side with a man named Barzillai. So back when David was in exile, Barzillai provided for David and his men when they were out. Barzillai was about 80 years old. He was very wealthy. And so to be able to provide for a large group of people is pretty impressive, I think. So now that David has returned, he wanted to thank Barzillai for his provisions, giving him a place in his kingdom and providing for any of his needs. But Barzillai thanked David and said, hey, I'm an old man. I don't have a lot of life left in me. I can't enjoy everything that your kingdom would give me. Can you take Kimham instead? So David agreed to that and took Kimham with him. And Kimham was probably a son or a servant of Barzillai. So that is where we are right now. Barzillai saw his resources as the Lord's. He didn't see them as his. He used his time, talent, and treasures to honor the Lord by providing for God's anointed, King David, while he was in exile. So back then, David bowed down before Barzillai, accepting help. A few weeks ago when Karen taught, she talked about accepting help from others is a way that we can relinquish control and allow the Lord to work in our lives. So David could have pulled himself up by his own bootstraps with pride, He did not do here, but he accepted the Lord's provision with humility. Ephesians 4:2 is a verse that here we recently memorized with the children at Watermark in the elementary ministries, and it says, always be humble and gentle, Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And here we see that lived out. Barzillai was humble. He was gentle. And we see several people throughout this passage being patient with one another and making allowances, forgiving. So just like Barzillai saw his resources as the Lord's, how do you view your resources, your stuff, your status, or your circumstances? As the Lord's or as yours? How we answer that question determines how we respond with each of those. Do you use your position at work for the Lord's glory or for yours? Are you generous with your resources because you know that they belong to the Lord? Or are you selfish because you worked hard and it is your stuff? Do you spend time on life-giving things and growing closer to the Lord, or wasting it on life-sucking activities? So will you bow up with pride and do things on your own? Or will you bow down with humility, like Barzillai did, to steward your resources for the Lord's glory? Okay, we have another little comic here. If you want to look up there. I think, maybe. Okay, we do. Okay. All right. It says, with great humility, I humbly and publicly confess the biggest struggle in my Christian life is being right about everything all the time. We're going to see that lived out again with the Israelites and the Judahites. Their pride and bowing up against each other is a continued source of division and broken relationships. And here we're going to see that they just cannot get over themselves. They continue to bow up against the other side. And both sides want credit for bringing David back as king. So this unresolved conflict that stemmed from pride led to an future division between Israel in the north and Judah in the south. So both sides misplaced their trust, taking credit in themselves rather than giving it to the Lord. And they bowed up so much so that Judah's pride says it was more forceful than that of the Israelites. It's not really a way that I would like to be known. So personal example here, relationships in my family. So I come from a divorced family and I am single. So I like to celebrate holidays the way I want, with my traditions, in ways that I enjoy, and don't always take into account other people's feelings. So this has led to hurting people in the process. So even this week, I had decided I'm going to go up to Colorado for spring break, see my best friend, and I'll see my brother. I'll tell him when I am available, because I felt like I needed to dictate the time slot that I was free. And it didn't work out because he'll be gone. And so my response was, okay, well, I guess next time, whatever. Then after going through this talk with my community group on Sunday, they lovingly admonished me in my pride and reminded me that it's not about me. That's hard to hear that sometimes. And so after being loved and encouraged well by them, picked up the phone and called my brother and tried to make some other plans to see if I could make it work out, apologizing that I had made it all about me and it's really not. So again, I can't control the relationship or the outcome of that, but I can control my pride and redirect my trust back to the Lord. So in what areas of your life do you need to relinquish control so that the Lord can bring unity and restoration? Maybe through a strained relationship with a sibling or a parent, a struggling marriage, a rocky friendship, or challenging coworkers? Will you bow up with pride like the Israelites and Judahites did, or bow down with humility like they should have? We're going to continue on and now see pride through a man named Sheba. So here we see Sheba rebel against David, calling the Israelites to turn their backs on him and to go with Sheba. He led many men away from the northern tribes of Israel. So David put a man named Abishai in charge of the army, since the current army commander, Amasa, was not doing a good job. So they went out to go pursue Sheba, and in the midst of that, Joab, the former commander of the army, took matters into his own hands, killing Amasa. When Abishai and Joab found Sheba, he was in the walled city of Beth Abel Maacah. Joab got the troops to use a battering ram, which is like a thing that goes like, like this. I don't know how to describe that, but to knock down the walls of the city. But a wise woman yelled over the wall to him and asked Joab, hey, what do you want? We are God's faithful in Israel. We are his inheritance. We're like a mother in Israel, a place of peace where people come for answers. So Joab explained, hey, Sheba's hiding in there and we want him. So she agreed to cut off his head and throw it over the wall. Doesn't that sound lovely? I mean, man, if all problems were that easy to solve, we would be great. So anyway, when they threw the head over, Joab blew the trumpets and took all of the men back to David. So Sheba had a long line of bitterness that David was the Lord's anointed. He chose to live in that bitterness, which oozed out in pride that his way would be better than the Lord's way. Now, Sheba's rebellion was not like Absalom's from earlier. Absalom took years grooming the people of Israel to try and earn his place, whereas Sheba here was quick. Hey, everybody, we're going. We're not part of David. We have no share in him. Every man to his tents. Let's go. Now, Joab's pride led to Amasa's death, perhaps because he was wanting to secure a place as a permanent army commander or some sort of position of status. But this was his third murder to try and do that. So way back in the fall, well, in our lesson in the fall, not really in the fall, but he killed a man named Abner. Then we see him kill Absalom. And here we see him kill Amasa. So maybe he had a thing against guys whose names start with A. I don't really know. But he bowed up and he took matters into his own hands. Sheba was hiding in the city of Beth Abel Maacah, and which was a walled city, a protected place. But we need to remember that there is no wall that is high enough that will protect us against going from going against God's will. So when we are disobedient, but we're trying to seek protection or provision anywhere else from the Lord, it's not going to work. We'll be found. And the Lord's way is better. So we have a few proverbs here that go along with this. So Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So Sheba had misplaced his trust, and then bringing in all of the men with him, misplacing their trust in him. They trusted themselves rather than the Lord or the Lord's anointed. Do I live in bitterness like Sheba did and seek to further my cause by revenge, or do I allow the Lord to be in control? Sheba's pride demonstrated through his bitterness led to his death. So when has your pride led to rebellion against the Lord, perhaps leading to the death of a relationship? Having to be right and not admitting fault, not being willing to seek or listen to wisdom, turning from the Lord and completely doing something your own way. So will you bow up with pride like Sheba and Joab, or will you bow down in humility like they should have? So now let's look at the Wonder Woman in the story. So we see humility come out through the wise woman. Now, she could have been a judge or a woman of status, but she was obviously someone that people wanted to listen to. She knew that it was important to listen to wisdom. Sometimes it's really hard to swallow our pride and listen to wisdom with humility. Wisdom is knowing and doing the right thing that comes from the Lord. So God used women to change the course of events in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And so we see that through Abigail, the woman at Tekoa, and here the woman at Abel. This wise woman saw a problem, she took action, she challenged Joab, and she kept her word. Deuteronomy 20:10 is a verse that this woman probably knew pretty well. So that verse says, when you march up to attack a city, make its people an offer of peace. Joab did not do that. He went right up with the battering ram to get Sheba. He didn't at all intend to offer peace. But here we see that Joab bowed down. He listened to the wise woman, which is probably culturally uncommon back then. But by him bowing down, he saved the city from destruction that his pride would have caused. And the people of the city bowed down to the woman as well, doing what she suggested. So when have you had to swallow your pride and heed wisdom to benefit others and honor the Lord? So it's not about us, but it's about honoring the Lord in what we say and do. So maybe you need to admit fault for something that you were wrong about. Maybe you need to tell your coworker that you're sorry for how you responded earlier this week. Maybe you need to listen to your community's suggestions and their wisdom on how to handle a hard situation with a friend. Are you going to listen to advice from Dr. Phil and Oprah, or are you going to turn to the wisdom in Scripture? So will you bow up with pride and listen to your own wisdom, or will you bow down with humility and turn to the Lord? We see humility in this last section by having an advisory board, which is what David had. He had a trusted community that spoke the truth in love to him, and David knew that he could not do things all on his own. So ladies, we are not an island. We need people around us to support us and point us to truth. It's important to let others in on decisions. So Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Personal example of this is my community and my super close friends have the right, and I need them, to speak into my life. So when I know that they're spending time with the Lord and digging into his word, I know that they're coming from a place of love and of truth. And I need their wisdom to speak into different areas such as work, finances, family, dating, conflict, and decisions about my future. So whom do you trust to speak biblical wisdom and counsel into your life? Do you have a close group of friends or advisors that spend consistent time in the Word and growing closer to the Lord? Where do those closest to you get their counsel? And what kind of counsel do you give those who are close to you? Will you bow up like David could have and sometimes did? Or will you bow down in humility and listen to a group of wise advisors? So in conclusion, did we notice anything missing in the passages this week? The Lord was fleetingly mentioned, and no one ever inquired of him. So how would those situations have changed had someone inquired of the Lord? When we bow up with pride, our lives are marked with destruction, division, hurt, broken relationships, rebellion, and death. Our trust is not placed in the Lord when we bow up with pride. When we bow down with humility, our lives should be marked with unity, peace, sacrifice, and restored relationships because we see ourselves in right relation to the Lord. So this year's theme for Women's Bible Study is seeing God's hesed love through trials and triumphs. So how do we see that here? We see several different trials that were experienced through exile. Sorry, my slides did not line up. This is my fault. We'll get it corrected. So David was in exile in a trial, but now in a triumph, he returns to Jerusalem. Absalom was temporary king. David's reinstated. Shimei cursed David. Shimei confessed and asked for forgiveness. Mephi didn't go with David. Mephi's restored to David. David had to go in exile. The Lord provided through Barzillai. And you can just see it continue going on and on. There's a song that I would like for us to sing, one verse two together. And it's the song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And so we'll wrap up with this, and I just want to talk about it for a second afterwards. So if you guys would sing with me, that would be great. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. So boasting in the Lord is not pride. We get to boast in the Lord because of what he has done and not because what we have done or what we could ever do. The Lord has made a way for us to be right with him, restoring the ultimate relationship. Ladies, God loves you, and I hope that you know that, and I hope that you truly believe that. And by me knowing and believing that, my life has been completely changed. I know that I cannot earn the Lord's love or his forgiveness, but it's only by grace that we've been saved through faith in him and not by our works, so that we can't boast about what we've done. So to wrap it up, are you going to bow up with pride this week, puffing up your chest, turning up your nose and your hands on your hips, trying to play God? Are you going to sleep in that extra 20 minutes rather than get up and read the Bible and spend time with the Lord? Are you going to misplace your trust, misdirecting it to yourself rather than the creator of the universe who made you in his image? Or are you going to bow down with humility, falling to your knees before the Lord, realizing how big he is and how small you are? Are you going to get out of bed even when you're pretty tired because you know that time with the Lord is well spent and has current and eternal value? Will you see yourself in right relation to the Lord this week? So I want to challenge you to look for the Lord's hesed love through trials and triumphs this week. Then choose to bow up or bow down. After we see his love at work in our lives, the choice should be pretty simple. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good in that you tell us that you humble the proud and you exalt the humble. And so I just pray for each of us that are in here tonight that we would see ourselves in right relationship to you. Lord, help us direct our trust to you alone. You are the only one that's trustworthy, and we cannot be satisfied anywhere else or fulfilled anywhere else. And Father, we thank you that Jesus has made a way. So I pray that this week we would see your love and your grace in every situation, in every trial, in every triumph that we encounter. We love you, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.